There was a great man of God. He says, if you want to get people moved, you talk about finances or their kids, and that'll always stir up something. But when it comes to giving, when it comes to finances, we don't have to be worried or concerned about it, because what does God's word say about it is the most important thing. I know we were celebrating our 20th plus anniversary this year in April, and I went over to Pennsylvania, and I spent some time with Cindy's pastor over there. He was Pastor McGee, a very beautiful, nice man, and I stayed at his house just before we got married, and he was telling me all about Cindy, how she was just the greatest thing since sliced bread, and he told me some things about her. He says, this girl got born again, and she started to give everything away. And I had to tell her, stop giving things away. I was surprised that he said that, but why did you give everything away at that time?
Well, I was just so in love with God that he just saved me, and I was just so in love. And so I wanted to be a giver like God. And so I just, I got inspired. I heard a testimony that someone love God so much too that they gave 90%, lived on 10%, and they were still blessed. And I said, oh Lord, I want to do that. And so I started giving everything. But Pastor McGee said, you're going to Bible school, save something.
And so there has to be a middle of the road, obviously. I know that, I said, wow, that's good. And I heard, and I heard that she actually, she got rid of her vehicle, too, at that time, and took a bicycle to work. That is so funny. And so she took a bicycle to work. How many miles did you have to pedal?
It was only 13.
13 miles. I have a bicycle, a 10-speed, just so she could be a blessing. So I was glad, and we got married, and it's been something ever since. Well, there's a lot of getting married is a benefit for those that want to die to your own desires and your own ways, and so it's been good, and it's been 20 plus years, and so thank God. So when it comes to finances, and when it comes to giving and receiving and prosperity God's way, even in the midst of a pandemic, did you know God wants to supply and to provide all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? We've got plenty of scriptures that tell us that he's the one that wants us to be provided for. He's the one that wants to supply our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says, because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. It's amazing that he started to preach the gospel to poor people. Why would He preach the gospel to poor people, you think, hon?
They need hope.
They need hope. Amen. And poor means that you don't have enough money. So if He came to preach the gospel to the poor, and He came to heal the brokenhearted. And so last week, Pastor and Miss Anita, they talked about healing. And one of the first steps and one of the first keys when it comes to the healing is to know it's God's will. And so with prosperity, it's the same thing. We've got to know that it's God's will to meet our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And when we find out that God loves us and He's supplied and provided all of our needs, then we know that it's going to be a good thing. So when we know that it's God's will, then we could say that, hey, I've got something to put my faith on. I've got something to believe in. So over in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night. You know, we have to meditate on God's word, and we can't let it depart out of our mouth, because out of our mouth is got life and death in it. And if we speak the negative, guess what? That's going to be bad for us. But if we speak the positive on what God's word has to say, then the Bible says here He's going to make our way prosperous and have good success. So prosperity is for us today. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, the Lord said also in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He add no sorrow with it.
Amen. And so we believe, according to the scriptures, that God wants us blessed financially. And rich is not a bad word. You know, to have your needs supplied, it's not a bad word. Rich means a full supply. That means you have all your needs met, but then you have extra to be a blessing. and to be able to give, like Cindy mentioned, about to give out of your substance. You know, there's a middle of the road in everything about God. And sometimes we can go to the extreme on one area, or we can go to the extreme on the other area. And so with prosperity, one extreme would be you give everything away and you have nothing at all for yourself. And the other way would be you're stingy and you don't want to give anything at all. So God wants us in the middle of the road to be able to be a blessing. Go ahead. Did you have something to say?
No.
No. So over in Genesis 39 and verse 2, the Bible says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And so prosperity has to do with God on your side. Amen?
Amen.
So God being able to prosper you and to make a way. So Joseph had it really tough at different times. You know, he was sold into slavery with his brothers. They betrayed him. They sold him into slavery. But when the Lord's hand is upon you, he's going to provide for you. Amen?
Yeah, just like the pandemic right now. You know, Joseph went through different things, and we're all going through, you know, the pandemic. But God still has a way. Even when God used the raven to bring the food to the prophet, God will use anything, but it's about trust and your love. So you got to do everything in love, and you have to trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So these steps that God desires, I believe, according to the scriptures, is we have to know that it's God's will that he wants to take care of us. He wants to prosper us, and he wants to meet all of our needs. Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so there's plenty of scriptures where it talks about God providing. All through scriptures, I see that God is taking care of his children and providing for them. You know, there was a place in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where a couple of people went into captivity. Well, actually, a whole group of people, all the Israelites went into captivity. And there was a fellow by the name of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys were in captivity, and they were put into a place where they didn't want to go. They left Jerusalem, and they were brought to Babylon, and they were in captivity. But the Bible specifically states that God took care of them, and he met their needs. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, when we moved to this city back in 2003, we find out that God has been our source, and he has been our supply. To take care of us. Do you believe in work?
It's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, God provides and he'll lead you. So when we first moved here, you know, Ken was pastoring and we were looking for jobs. So Ken called this one ad and the lady said, oh, I just hire women. So then we said, okay. So then he put the phone down. So then I called, and then I got a job. So anything God leads you, he just prospers you. He gives you favor. But you have to put your hand to something. So you be sensitive to the leading. And another example was we had a neighbor, and he when we were on Adams Street, and he was a letter carrier, and I said, oh, that's my dream job. I'd love to pay to get exercise. And he said, oh, put your resume in. So I did. I followed his leading, and then lo and behold, you got open that door. And so, and then Pastor Ken, like, these are all leadings of the Lord. You just be sensitive and open and be willing to work. I mean, it might not be exactly what you thought you're supposed to be doing, but God uses things to bless other people and also for you to be blessed. So Pastor Ken loves to drive, so he's driving the bus. So, you know, he just uses people to, you know, put those little seeds in your heart, and then you just take the initiative and then put your resume in, and then God opens doors. It's just amazing the doors that God will open for a willing and obedient heart.
Amen. Thanks, Joyce. Joyce Beyer. No, that is awesome how, you know, God provides and he meets all of our needs. according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we have to know that it's God's will. And then the next one is practice a lifestyle of giving and receiving. Mm-hmm. I know that Cindy gave a lot of her clothes away, and many times I've got loads of clothes in from certain source in the church. But anyways, that's not the point. The point is I received mm-hmm. a lot, and so every time I receive something, I always tell her, see, I'm reaping on what you gave away.
Amen.
And so, because she gave a whole boatload of stuff away, and I get the benefit of it. So it's the practice, a lifestyle of giving and receiving. You know, if you can't receive something from somebody, guess what? There's a word called pride. And we've all experienced it at different times. I went once, my mother came to visit me, and she made all these pierogies, a whole pile of pierogies. And I thought, I'm going to start giving some of these pierogies away. And so I went over to a neighbor in the area, and she looked at me when I knocked at the door. I had the big bag of pierogies, and she says, I don't even like those things. I don't need those things. We got our own food. And so to me, that was someone that didn't want to receive. You know, I understand that not everybody likes certain foods, but the idea was behind it, you know, when we receive from God, we have to come to Him with an open heart, knowing that, hey, it's not our own good works that was going to save us. It's what He did for us on Calvary's cross. And so that's the first part of humbling yourself. You know, I never cried before I got born again. I only remember a bitter tear maybe once, not even twice. And when I got born again back in 1987, I noticed the tears flowed freely. And it has to do with just receiving from God, knowing that we can't make it on our own. He's the one who provides for us. We could say, you know, oh, I've got this great understanding and education, and so God is really providing for me. No, He likes taking the foolish things of the world and confounding the wise. He likes taking poor people and blessing them and making them rich. He likes taking sick people that are sick of everything and delivering them and making them healthy and whole for His honor and for His glory. So we've got to practice a lifestyle of giving. Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "Now you Philippians know that the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated me as concerning giving and receiving." And so all of us have to come to a place where we're givers, but we're also receivers. And so any opportunity that you say, you know, the Lord will put a little inkling in your heart. Oh, your mind will say, oh, they don't want that. They don't need that. But if the Lord has touched your heart and you want to be a blessing and give, go ahead and experience that. You know, God's the greatest giver. And He wants us to be a receiver from Him, but then He also wants to turn around and be a blessing and be a giver. Amen? Go ahead.
Knowing God's will, and also Pastor Ken's talking about giving, Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out you such blessing, there will not be enough room to receive it." So God's will is right there. His provision is there. So He wants you to prove Him. He wants you to be a giver. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." So you're supposed to have the word to stand on. So these are some scriptures that you can stand on. But to also know the will, that it's God's will, in Matthew 6:26, it says, "Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. So aren't you far more valuable to Him than birds are?" So God cares for the birds. How much more does He for you? We are made in His image. Then here is the willing part and the obedience again. Matthew 6:33. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else." and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So those are scriptures that you can stand on and scriptures that you need to be willing and obedient, and you will see the good of the land. Brother Hagin says if you have two or three scriptures that you can stand, and in Malachi when it says that he'll rebuke the devourer, that means that you can speak life to your stuff. Like, we have a couch that is, it's, what, 24 years old? It's 24 years old, and it's still, it's a pull-out sofa, and it's still in pristine shape. I mean, God just prolongs your items, and when you do have things that come against you, because you will, we're in this world, he'll give you favor. We have mechanics now that give us favor, and when we have to get something fixed, you know, they give you a deal. So God uses everything of this world, and he'll turn it for your good. You're willing, you're obedient, you're doing it for the right reason. You're not being a Pharisee and showing off. You're loving God like the widow with the mite. You just love God, and you want to be a blessing.
Amen. Can we get an amen out there? Amen. So we practice a lifestyle of giving and receiving. And so I noticed you mentioned the tithe. I wasn't that hard on it on myself before I was born again at all. But then when I got born again, and then we were married at 30 years of age. And I noticed that you were a lot more on the tithe. How come that you were so gung-ho about the tithe?
Because I want the windows of heaven open. I believe the scripture. And plus, if God is such a giver, like 10% is nothing. Like, okay, because the government, how much does the government take? They just took 38% of my paycheck. And God asked for 10. Are you kidding me? God would do so much more with 10 than the government with 38%. So it's just a matter of trust. Do you trust God to use that 10% and bless you? Yes, he's so faithful.
Mm-hmm. Are you happy you married me?
Yes, he brought you too.
Oh, man. Okay, so we got to be a giver. We got to be a receiver. We have to expect God to meet our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we have to follow his leading. You know, God Almighty, he leads us and he directs us. Amen. You know, he's sometimes we can get the mentality, well, God's providing for me, so I'm just going to sit and I'm not going to do anything. No. You have to open up your eyes and look unto the hills. You got to look around because there's opportunities out there that God wants to supply and to meet your needs according to your riches and glory. And again, we don't look to men, but we do look to God, and he uses men. He uses people to be able to have fellowship with you, not only in fellowship, but also to meet your needs. I remember on the railroad, it was the most horrendous job. I had just a very simple job, but the foreman, his name was Terry Clark from Saskatoon. I pray God he's still alive. And he looked at me and he said, Ken, come on over here. And he called me, and I was a young fellow, and he said, I want you to be my assistant. I was so shocked that he would pick me out and say, I want you to be my assistant. And there's other people that called the union. They did all kinds of things and probably got paid for doing it because it goes by seniority. But that whole summer, it was just, it was a real blessing, and how God focuses and does stuff like that. It's just totally shocking on the way God wants to pick people out, and he'll pick you out as well. You just lean your heart towards him and look for him and seek him, and bless God, he's going to make sure that he gets over to you what you need to know. And it's been a great it's been great. So practice a lifestyle of giving and receiving. So 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10, it says that he ministers seed to the sower. So who gets the seed? A sower gets the seed. And minister bread for your food. And then he multiplies that seed sown. and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So he likes people that sow seed. And again, know that when he's supplying and providing your needs, he's checking you out. You know, I was talking to my son Lukey in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's over there. And I said, you know, you're being tested in many different areas, a lot of different areas, Luke. And you have to know that temptation, tests, and trials, they come. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But I am come, God says, Jesus says, that I'll give you life and life more abundantly. And so he will not allow Satan to tempt you beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. And I know that when it comes to finances, you know, he's going to ask you. He's going to, he sees what you're made out of. He sees it. Are you a giver or are you someone that is scared and want to hold back any finances? If finances don't have you, guess what? Then God's got all of you. The Bible talks about in this world, there's two gods. There's the God of money and then there's the Almighty God, our Creator. And some people just focus on the money. It's just the money. It's just the money. No, it's not the money. It's Almighty God and He wants to provide a way and a means for you. And so to know that when he requires something of you, and again, you always have to weigh everything out in Scripture. I know that when I was just very young, being born again, the first thing, you know, it seemed like I had to give $1,000 away. Where would that come from, and why would I want to give $1,000 away? It just didn't make sense. And sometimes you should weigh things out and see, really, is this God, or is just maybe you thinking that you're going to be a big shot and give $1,000? $1,000 is actually a $10,000 increase in your life, and you're giving $1,000 back. But and so different things along those lines. And then I thought again, you know, I'm going to try to give as much money as I possibly can. And then I got upset with myself and I got upset with others because I gave my money away. I had a friend in Winnipeg and a very good friend, and he received an inheritance, and he went and he gave almost the whole thing to the church. And oh man, was he bitter after that. He was upset. He thought it was a slot machine. You put your money in and the money comes out. It's not a slot machine. What it is principles, here a little, there a little. It's the principles of God that when we put them in operation and believe God and have confidence that he's going to meet our needs according to his riches and glory, he doesn't want you to give everything away and then you're mad and upset and go backslide and get away from the things of God because you gave some money away. No, he wants us to be able to have a sound mind. And this all comes with serving God. You know, it take. I'm still learning a lot from Cindy. No, I'm still learning a lot, and it's going to continually learning a lot. But thank God there's simple principles down in God's Word that he wants us to be givers, he wants us to be receivers, he wants us to bless where we can be a blessing, and where we can't be a blessing, we can't be a blessing. And so we just want to function along those lines. So that's the first one, is to know it's God's will. The second is to practice a lifestyle of giving and receiving. And then the third one is that you have to maintain a good confession. Everybody say that. Maintain a good confession. Why would you have to maintain a good confession, hon?
Just like the farmer who sows a seed, if you don't maintain your good confession, you're going to pull your seed out of the ground. And that's kind of silly, but it's a good illustration that a farmer wouldn't plant all that seed and then go and pull it all up. But if you speak against your seed that's sown, that's exactly what you're doing. So you need to just have faith, just like the farmer, and just believe that seed is in there and it's going to come to a good harvest, and you just speak life over that seed.
Amen. And so you got to use your mouth. You have to use your confession. Over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast our confession of our faith without wavering. For faithful he is he who promised, who also will do it." And so you're going to have to hold fast your confession. It's a confession of faith. You know, we all understand about confessing our sins. You know, you can confess your sins when you do something wrong. You say, "Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry about that." And, you know, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then there's the positive side of confession, is to confess what God's word says about us.
Amen.
You know, we have to confess that God wants us to prosper. We have to confess that God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. God, you have to confess, you know, I sowed seed and I'm believing that it's coming back unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. I heard many times about the money will come. We've heard that here at Faith City Church. We've been taught that, you know, the money will come. And guess what? The money comes.
Amen.
Because it's a principle of God's word. And so you have to understand, number one, that it's God's word, God's will, and then we have to practice a lifestyle of giving, and then you go ahead and use your confessor. It's right below your mouth, right below your nose. It's your mouth. You know, I was just listening to Keith Moore the other day, and some people praise God, and they say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, you know, bless you. I just worship you. I praise you. But guess what? They don't really mean it from their heart that much. You know, if you're interested about your confession, guess what? God's interested about your confession. If you're not interested about your confession, guess what? God's not, he's not that thrilled about you if you're not excited about it. And so when it comes to finances, guess what? He wants you to be excited about it. He wants you to talk about it that, hey, God is meeting my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. He supplies and he provides everything that I need. And so you got to maintain that good confession. Jesus said that if you can believe, all things are possible. So we have to be positive that, you know, we sowed our seed. God's supplying and meeting all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Thank you, Lord, that I have money. You know, you can't pray that God is going to supply your needs and then you go outside away from the Bible, away from the Word, even though God's with you, and then you say, you know, I'm broke. I have no money. I have nothing. You know, we're having a hard time making it. Well, guess what? Your words, yes, it's true in the sense that that's what you're saying, the way it looks around you. Charles Capps said, God told him, I told my people they can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. That's a good confession. You know, I told my people they could have what they say, but they're saying what they have. God wants you to say some things. He wants you to say that he's meeting my needs according to his riches and glory. He's supplying and providing. I've got doors of opportunity. Thank God I'm a blesser, I'm a giver. And you don't have to just wait for people to be around so you can confess and say things. No, this is a personal relationship between you and God. Is he really your God? Is he really supplying your needs according to his riches and glory? Do you really love him? Or is this just a show that we put on to show something? No, it's a real reality. Amen?
Amen.
You have anything else to say?
Well, along with the confession, you know, you could be in a place where things are fine, but you're focusing on the wrong thing. So you have to just believe the scriptures. We've given you several scriptures here that you can stand on. And so when the enemy comes against you, you know, you just tell him, you're a liar, this is what God says. And you use these scriptures to stand on because that is your foundation. Not what you see, not what's going on in the world, but what God says. Because even in the famine, God made a way for Joseph to supply all of that stuff through the famine ahead of time. So if we're obedient and willing, God will make a way even in famine times and this pandemic time. You know, we have to look to God. Our jobs aren't our source. Yes, he'll use jobs, he'll use opportunities, but God is our source. So if we know that we know that we know God supplies, then we can have that trust and that enthusiasm, like Ken was saying. You know, are you happy to know God's going to supply your needs? And the obedient part is when he tells you, hey, give that guy $20. You know, don't look at the circumstances. If God's directing you to bless somebody, just obey. Like what Ken said earlier, Pastor Ken said earlier about God using people. Well, the quicker you are to obey God, the quicker other people will obey God and get it back to you. Because it's all what measure you use. So if you're going to be obedient, you know, God's going to use whoever he can who's going to be quick to obey, because he will want to use certain people. So if you are growing and learning, like, it's all baby steps, it's faithfulness. God's going to say, use that $5, go buy their coffee. Go buy their coffee. Pastor Ken's been buying this guy coffee, and I'm like, will you stop buying coffee? But, you know, it's faithfulness. If God's directing him, that might be the door that God's using to open this man's heart to the gospel. Like, we don't know God's purpose, so that's why we do it in obedience, because we trust. And we like to bless our garbage guys. And the one guy at Christmas didn't even want to take it. It's like, you're out here on Christmas working. Will you just take this money? So it's just the faithfulness. It's the willingness, the trust, and to know and line up your words. Line your words up with what God says, that he's going to supply your needs. He wants you to be blessed so you can be that blessing in the earth. So the doors of the gospel will go forth so that people's hearts will be open to the gospel. It's all about the kingdom. It's not about how much stuff you accumulate. Pastor Ken says, doesn't matter how much you spend or save. He's talking about Dollarama. It's a dollar. It's $1 million if you buy 1 million things at Dollarama. So like, God is just so into blessing us that we have to get the revelation that he wants open doors for us. To have open doors, we have to obey his word. And his word says to be willing and obedient when he directs us, and being faithful in the little so that he can give you much. But And the funny thing about God is that he'll put these things in your heart, like that 90%, and then he reminds you when you're stuck in your watching things happen. I had a heart to give this couple who are doing Bible schools on CDs and sending them to countries, and it was $10,000 to do these CDs. I totally forgot about it, but he'll bring it back to you, like, hey, one lump sum, 10,000. You're supposed to be believing me for that. And like,
I don't know if he's still alive. That was years ago.
No, they're still alive. I see him on Facebook.
Oh.
So anyway.
There goes 10,000.
Yeah. But God is faithful. He wants you to believe him for those things. He wants to stretch you. And you have to take these little steps so that he can open those doors and trust you with that money. So you're believing to pay your house off. You're believing to have a new car. All these things are obedience in the Tim Hortons, obedience in the $20 for the you know, the garbage guys, and just those areas. So God is so faithful.
Amen, amen. So knowing that it's God's will and practicing giving and receiving, and what was my last point? I can't even remember it. The last point confession. Is maintaining that good confession, because God is faithful. Hun, I want you just to pray before Pastor comes up, and go ahead, Cindy, pray over our the people watching. Concerning finances, and thank God that he's the one that's providing and blessing them.
Amen. Go ahead. Lord, we just thank you for these open hearts. We just give you glory, Lord, that your word will just penetrate these hearts, Lord, and that they'll be encouraged to just seek you in this area, Father, of finances, that you have a good plan for them, Lord, and you have things that you want in their lives, but you have people that you want them to touch. Only they can touch these people, Father, and we thank you that you just bless their finances, Lord, so that they're encouraged and they have the tools and the finances they need to be a blessing, to promote the gospel, to be a blessing, to bless the kingdom. And Lord, we just thank you that in our obedience and our willingness, that you will provide the good of the land for us, Father. So we just give you glory and honor for the testimonies, Lord, that people were encouraged today to believe and have faith and trust in you in this financial area, Father, that you are a good Heavenly Father, that you have provision and more than enough in the kingdom to be that Heavenly Father. And we just give you glory and honor for just proving that you are faithful to perform your word. It will not return void to you, Father, but it will accomplish that which it was sent. And we give you glory and honor, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Cindy.